Welcome to the newest edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. On this episode, we are going to discuss WWE's latest layoffs, a full preview of AEW's Full Gear, and then as always, we will do the superlatives of the week. I am your host, the Chief Keith Fleming, with me, as always, my guys, the ravishing one, Ronel. I've got, 40 belts at this point, Tinsley, and Sam, the straight shooter Howe. What's going on, boys?
I'm doing all right. I think it's only 8. I can't wait till it gets to 40, though.
I can't either, man. I'm wondering what the missus thinks, and I wonder where you store that many belts at a certain point.
Well, I'm just going to continue to keep cases, and
I like it. The case is baller. I got to give you, the case you got set up is a nice setup. I definitely want to do something like that for my belts, although I only got 2. I'm not Ron L.
I've got 2 other glass cases to fill as well. I haven't cleaned and set them up because
that's
I'm
when you know you got room to grow. Sam, you want to give us a weather report for out in California? Graphic, what's going on?
It is a little chilly. It's in the 60s. Starting to feel like fall.
I'd take 60 at this point.
I know. I feel like I always say that because I just imagine Ronel like under 8 feet of snow. Like, I hate everything about you.
Not yet.
Well, real quickly, before we get this started, I do want to remind everyone that the IB Sports Podcast Network is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. We really greatly appreciate the support. All the podcast numbers are way up. Same for the group. Please join the IB Sports page, which is on Facebook. We have a Patreon, which is $5 a month. You get all-star benefits, Instagram, Twitter, but just really everything is growing, which we really appreciate. And again, the most listens for almost all the podcasts have been in the last couple of months. So we appreciate the support, but please be sure to subscribe, follow, rate, review, share, all that stuff. We really appreciate you. Sadly, for off the top, we have to start. This seems like it happens way too often, but WWE laid off another 17 stars in the past week. There is rumors, and I want to put that out there, that these were the people that would not get vaccinated. I don't know if we're going to ever get confirmation on that. Apparently, there was several stars that they know were taking a strong stand that they were not going to get vaccinated. In that sense, if it is true, it kind of changes this a little bit because WWE is obviously getting back to where they're traveling and stuff. I don't know, you know, how as a superstar you can travel without being vaccinated and just obviously the legality of it, the issues going state to state, you know, they go out of the country, but either
there are venues that won't let you perform if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah, as Kyrie Irving, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say is it gets into that weird thing where like, if you're not in the state of New York, I don't know. Anyway, go on. Sorry. I'm going to get into the weeds on this. It's not
important. Yeah. Let's not do that.
So the biggest names, and there was some surprising ones, names like Ember Moon, Eva Marie, Mia Yim, Nia Jax, Scarlett Bordeaux, and Karrion Kross. I mean, it wasn't completely shocking because a lot of those people were not being used on a regular basis. I feel really bad for Karrion Kross. I hate any time they give a guy a new stupid gimmick and then they immediately let him go right after, where it's like, it's almost like on the way out, they're trying to kill their cred. It almost feels like, but the shocking one, and I know RC obviously will tell you, he told us so, but Keith Lee. And I can't believe that this guy, who I would say most people that really follow the indie scene and stuff were as excited about Keith Lee coming to WWE as any star in recent memory, mainly because of his size, the athleticism. You know, he was probably not going to have the narrative that so many guys do that come from the indie scenes, that they just, you know, Vince is not going to give him a look. But here we are. And I just want to start with kind of, what are your guys' overall thoughts on this? I mean, Does it play a difference if it was about being vaccinated? Does it not make a difference? How do you guys feel?
The vaccine thing, the only ones that would surprise me are Keith Lee and Mia Yim, because Keith Lee's had COVID like twice and it was pretty serious. I feel like he would be one of the people who would get a vaccine pretty early on. Other than that, no, that seems very believable, especially Nia Jax. I've seen, and well, and Karrion Kross is a Mulan Mabe attack.
But yeah, it's pretty simple. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I mean, I think that what we're seeing is that there was a period where the WWE signed a lot of people, in part because they thought that they were going to have a more global brand in terms of the NXT UK and that sort of thing. And I think that they signed a lot of people to keep them away from AEW and sort of hoard them away from New Japan. And they realized like, oh, we don't need, you know, they say, well, we don't need to budget. They've had a bloated roster for a long time. And I would rather them let some of these people go than let them, than keep them and have them waste away on the mid card.
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
not doing anything.
I can agree with that. You know, a lot of those, and yes, to me, especially with Karrion Kross and how excited a lot of people were. It's really sad because, you know, he didn't do anything to deserve that. And honestly, his gimmick wasn't broken coming from NXT. I mean, yes, he would have been just a regular fish in a bigger pond, but at least, you know, give him a chance and at least let him keep the aura that he had about him.
Let him keep Scarlett. I don't know why you bring her up.
I still don't understand why they didn't put them together.
The second thing, out of these cuts, who do you think has the highest ceiling somewhere else?
I mean, you would have to think Keith Lee, but I'm almost thinking that, you know, if Karrion Kross goes back to Impact and starts doing, you know, what he did, which led him to be able to come to NXT, that he may be able to parlay that into something bigger, maybe over in Japan, or who knows if he ever decides to go over to the AEW side, because he would, again, be able to at least have a little more size in comparison to the most of the roster there.
Could potentially get real heel heat too, right? Like, we know that the NXT fans completely turned against him. I could see that being a deal where in AEW, you know, he could get some real heat, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
I'm inclined to say Keith Lee, just because I think that Karrion Kross, if you want to go in terms of like most famous, I would probably think Karrion Kross, just because he has that kind of look, and I could see him eventually coming back to the WWE. But of the big names, I think Keith Lee could go do stuff in Japan. I just think that he has a lot of upside.
I think this is an opportunity for AEW to potentially correct, or at least course correct, one of my biggest complaints about the company now, which is they don't really have very many people of color. And, you know, period. I mean, look at the roster, is very, very white. And I mean,
can I change my answer?
Yeah.
I would go with Ember Moon, who I think was a medium-sized fish never really had a chance, timing as much as anything. She sort of came in around Asuka. She's really good. I think of the knee injuries that she's had, haven't slowed her up too much. As you were saying, Keith, to sort of piggyback on that, she is a woman of color who is a great wrestler.
We didn't piggyback because I didn't get to finish it.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, buddy.
But she has a unique look and has a great finisher. And I think that she could go to a relatively shallow women's division that's getting a lot more attention and really thrive there. So I would go with Ember Moon, actually.
Yeah, to finish my point, I mean, honestly, they should sign Keith Lee, Ember Moon, Nia Jax, and Mia Yim, because, again, you got three women of, you know, color, which they need that desperately. There's not enough diversity. Keith Lee is the same thing. You would actually have a legit, no offense to the guys that they have there, person that you could put in the title picture. He again would look like a monster. I think his style would work a lot better from the matches that I've seen from the indies in a place like AEW anyway. And again, the women's division, I know, say what you want about, you know, Nia Jax, and that's fine, but she's still a presence and she's not a terrible talker.
She's pretty terrible talker.
they need women, like they do. Like, is the division getting better? But I mean, yes, but I think Ember Moon and Nia Jax would be two of the bigger stars immediately the second they walked in the door.
You are kind of overlooking the fact that they do kind of have a little bit more on the international side, whereas, you know, you have your Ty Contis, your Thunder Rosas, you do have Jade Cargill. Red Velvet, Kiera Hogan. I mean,
how much are those people on TV?
Jade Cargill's gotten enough. Maybe just because I'm always watching when I know that Jade Cargill's going to be.
I was going to say, she hadn't been on TV much because, I mean, she wasn't on this episode of Dynamite. She wasn't on last week. She wasn't on Friday. That's because
she's poised for her semifinal match in the tournament coming up.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, again, it just, to me, it doesn't mean that she has to disappear out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
But I do think that there's some opportunities for them. And maybe I was wrong on Keith Lee.
Elevation.
Maybe I was wrong on Keith Lee. I still think he's...
Well, that means that I was wrong as well, because I was 100% stamping that one with you.
I think he's got a ton of talent. I think that WWE botched it, which I know that's shocking. And then one other thing before we move on from this, it feels like with these last three rounds of cuts, they truly are getting rid of NXT, the old NXT. There's a new NXT, and really with the exception of Ciampa and then some of the guys that had had some success and stayed on the main roster. I mean, if you look at it, I think it's like the past four or five of the last six NXT champions are gone. I mean, they have truly cleaned house, and maybe it's a new era. Maybe that's on purpose. I do hope we find out more though, because it is, I will have a much different viewpoint if these people refuse to get vaccinated, and that's part of why they let them go, or the main reason they let them go, compared to this just being a budgetary issue. Moving on to something more fun to talk about, Full Gear AEW's pay-per-view is this Saturday. It's a pretty good card. So I did want to spend some time just going over it before we get into Superlatives of the Week for off the top. Let's start with the women's match. Dr. Britt Baker versus Tay Conte. We don't need to spend much time.
Right.
Britt Baker, huh?
I would bust your balls.
Okay, that's fine. You want to interrupt me anymore, Sam? We're only 12 minutes in. Britt Baker versus Tay Conte. Ty, however you say it, Sam. We don't spend much time, right? Does anybody think Britt Baker's going to lose this match?
No, she has a heart attack. Ty Conti's pulling her on top of her to get pinned.
Okay, so we can move on from that. We got a tag team title match with the Lucha Brothers defending their titles versus FTR. I asked Sam Rano, why is this not a title for title match? Since they already had that connection.
I was wondering that why they wouldn't do that. I mean, especially considering that they had just defended the AAA tags on the last week's Dynamite.
Have a great ladder match, right, with both belts. I mean, to me, there's nothing better.
Oh, I can tell you why they're not doing
okay.
It's because they don't want FTR to lose the titles from AAA, and they are absolutely losing this match.
Okay. So are you in the same boat, Rono? You don't think there's any way that FTR wins this?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's get over with this, because I the worst build, the worst feud has been the Inner Circle versus America's top team and the man of the year. Jericho has regressed as a face. I'm serious. I think we touched on it a little bit last week. I was so disappointed in his promo. I legit like stood up and applaud, because Shivani was getting ready to talk to the Inner Circle on Dynamite tonight. And thank God they got jumped and ended up just being a segment where they basically got the crap beat out of themselves, which is obviously leading to, I'm sure, the Inner Circle going over on Saturday. But I gotta say, you know, what's it been, Ron? A couple of months since you were making the point that it's time to break up the inner circle. And then you did call that they were going to end up beating the Pinnacle. But I mean, this is really at this point, I think they've kind of, the memories are not going to be as good down the road the longer they keep this thing going. In the beginning, it was great. And now it's like, what are they doing with them?
I think that they absolutely should lose to America's top team. I think that it's a huge mistake to have them win. I don't know. I mean, who wants them to win? Like, who's looking at this going, God damn, man, I fucking want, the inner circle to win this. I mean, let me rephrase that. I'm sure there are a lot
of people. The fans do. I mean, like, if you see it.
Who does it benefit to have the inner circle beat America's top team?
I mean, with what they've done with the guys, nobody. Right, Rono?
Absolutely no one. No, I mean, it doesn't even do, honestly, you got to get Sammy out there defending the title more.
That's been one of the really depressing things is that, like, the Sammy and the tag titles have sort of taken a back seat since Sammy won and since the Young Bucks are no longer the champions.
So, yeah, but does everybody have the inner circle going on, or you call? Because I mean, they really did. Again, this may be just old traditional booking, but I mean, literally, the segment between them tonight was just the inner circle getting the crap beat out of them for 6 minutes. I mean, Jericho went through a table.
Well, then I hope that they go against traditional booking and they actually let the people who walked in strong leave strong. I can't believe I'm saying this, and you know, especially me being one of the people putting Jericho on my Mount Rushmore. They got to do away with this.
So
I think that we talk a lot about this is the last thing I'll say about this. We talk a lot about the predictable not always being bad. And I think that it's not predictable. It's doing what's the right thing storyline wise. And the right thing here is America's top team winning.
So they just added this tonight. And boy, you want to talk about your tag team that is unexpected. Pac and Cody Rhodes are going to take on Malakai Black and Andrade. I'm actually extremely intrigued about what this is going to be because, I mean, Cody's going to get the crap boot out of him. I mean, these are three guys in the ring, including his partner Pac and Malakai and Andrade, who are obviously, some of them are heels, but they're getting a lot of cheers. The reaction to Cody has not been great. I would imagine only at a pay-per-view that's going to be worse because it's going to be more, you know, of the diehards who are probably even more against Cody. Sam, I think, made the point offline that, you know, hopefully Cody was, you know, put in this match to take the pin. I don't know. Maybe they're going to do some kind of angle. Maybe it's going to be the start of a Cody heel turn. But it is interesting. It's almost like they just wanted to get Cody on the card. And Pac, and they said, you know, Andrade and Malakai Black don't have anything. Let's do this.
Well, it's unfortunate that happens, but it does leave it open for a couple of possible things. And quite honestly, another one of those things is that since Pac has been separated from Death Triangle for so long, with the Lucha Brothers being the tag champs, Pac could actually turn on Cody.
That'd be a cool little trio, wouldn't it?
And, you know, who knows if he would align himself with Andrade, you know, especially with the businessman angle that they're kind of working him on right now. So that's another thing that could happen.
And yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Pac. I think that he's a guy, you know, we talk a lot about guys getting lost in the shuffle, but man, he's talented. He's just one of those, like, I'm super excited because we're going to get a Danielson Pac match down the line. And I'm going to lose my shit and just like clap like a little child watching magic.
The CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I talked about this to Sam offline. I'm not excited about this. I'm a little frustrated at this point that this is where we're going with Punk. What I view Eddie Kingston as and what AEW views Eddie Kingston at are, there's a pretty big divide. I just don't think he's that big of a star. There's only three guys on the roster who have had more television matches on Wednesday and Friday in the last 6 months than him. So he's obviously being used a lot by him. The promo was fine on Wednesday. I thought it was pretty good. Or excuse me, Friday, last Friday. I thought that was good. It was a good, I mean, it was impressive the way they built it kind of out of nothing, because it just sort of started with a backstage, you know, argument, turned into Punk saying some words about him on Wednesday. And then on Friday, they obviously had the face-to-face confrontation and, you know, it was a decent brawl or whatever. Again, they were being separated tonight. I want more. I mean, we're at this point where we're kind of getting this cookie, you know, cutter babyface CM Punk, which, I mean, he's doing the best he can with what he is, but it just, that's not the Punk that I wanted. And I just, I mean, come on, like, we got Darby Allin in that first pay-per-view match, and I was like, all right, like, this is going to be the beginning. But he talked about putting over younger stars. I was told that, you know, part of it is he's going to be putting over younger stars. Eddie Kingston's not a younger star. Like, I feel like they could have found a lot better people for Punk to have this match with. Having said that, do what?
He's younger than Punk.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think Punk's obviously going to go over. Maybe that's what it is. They want to keep it clean. They want to, you know, push the story down the line. I thought you made some interesting points, Sam, earlier talking about the John Cena parallel with what he said.
I was going to let Ronel go first because I was going to, but since you brought it up, that was, so I saw it when I watched the promo. I was like, what does this remind me of? It was eating at me. It was one of those things in the back of my mind. And then Gil Martin texted me on Messenger and he was like, oh yeah, like somebody had tweeted about it. I was like, that's what it is that it's basically Cena Punk, but Punk's in the Cena role. The problem is,
you're not on my Eddie level King's, was the line, right?
Huh?
You're not on my level, right? Was the line.
Right. And sort of that, yes, which is, you know, and that, you know, he said that when Punk was in ECW, Cena didn't believe in him. And, you know, Eddie Guerrero saw something in him, you know, that sort of thing. I just thought watching this, Eddie Kingston, I agree with you. If you just go solely on Eddie Kingston's in-ring work and sort of the fact that he's not going to ever be more than he is, I get it. But he is an A-plus talker like Punk was at that point. The problem is he's like a C worker. and Punk was an A-plus worker at that point. So I don't think Punk loses. But yeah, I saw a lot of parallels there.
Is there a stipulation in this match?
Not that they have said yet. It feels like there should be, right?
Feels like it should be because honestly, with the way things are going, and especially with the CM Punk Love Fest, and hell, since we're here and we're previewing it, I honestly think that this is a good opportunity for Punk to turn heel. Why would you do that? Because
no, I said, what way would you do it? I understand why you would. Like, how would it against Kingston work?
Maybe a cheap shot, something like that. You know, one of those good old fashioned, you know, he catches him in the dong while the referee's back is turned, something like that, and then puts him into the GTS. You know, I think that CM Punk actually turning heel and letting him at least a little more into his natural element where he can actually start to work and maybe develop some programs with some people that mean something.
Crowd's going to be pro Punk though, right, Ronno? Or do you think that there's going to be...
I don't know. And especially considering that everybody knows that Eddie Kingston is one of John Moxley's best friends. He might be getting a little sympathy as, you know, being Moxley's, you know, best bud, still going out there and waging war, waiting for him to return to his side, something like that.
Do you know what I just thought of this because I was thinking of the heel. You know what feud I would love, and I can't believe I'm saying this, would be Punk Moxley and it would be really, Moxley would have to be okay with it. They would really be riding the line here. But think about Punk as a straight edge character and Moxley as a recovering alcoholic.
I don't know if he can do that after the promo last week.
I see what you're saying. I'm just saying, you know,
No, I got you for fantasy. I just don't know if you can go back from what all he said last Wednesday. Let's move on to the match that I am most excited about on this card. And it's not the title match. It's Darby Allin versus MJF. Just Yeah, it is. These are the two youngest stars in the company. Big stars, two youngest big stars in the company. I can't wait to see what this is, because MJF basically challenged him to, I will wrestle circles around you and you're a glorified stuntman. And I just have a feeling on this stage in this kind of match, Darby is going to do something freaking crazy. Like, really crazy.
He's going to be a real stuntman.
Yeah, do not hurt yourself, Darby, because I just have a feeling that there is going to be a bump that's just going to be insane. I think these two guys want to steal the show. I think they have a chance to, especially with, you know, Danielson taking on Miro. Not saying that that can't be the match of the night, but it's just going to be a higher level of difficulty for Brian to do that, because obviously I'm assuming the story is going to be the underdog, you know, Miro controls most of the match, et cetera. I think these two guys are just going to go out there and kill it. I think they have to give MJF this win, because we talked about this the other day. They just got to keep giving him feathers in his cap. I mean, that's what makes him such a great heel right now, is not only just he's a perfect heel, but they keep giving him big moments. I mean, really, other than Jericho, he's came out on top of absolutely everybody. Ronel, A, are you excited for this match? Am I overhyping it? And B, who do you got winning it?
Definitely not overhyped. And I don't know. I am kind of with you, because we were, like you had said, MJF kind of needs this win a lot more than Darby. Darby's been put in positions where he's taken losses to guys like, you know, Ethan Page and other guys, you know, lower on the card than MJF. So honestly, it would make more sense for MJF to, as you said, get another feather in his cap and go over here.
I think you're overhyping it. Just because I think this is there is some really good.
No, he's not.
But I think that this match will tell you who's going to win the title match. Because if MJF wins, you set up MJF versus Page as the first title feud. If Darby Allin wins, I think we're seeing Omega retain.
You may be right. I really hope that they're not going to do that to MJF, because they're not going to make, I would think they're not going to have Hangman win the title and then immediately lose it. And I would hate for MJF in his first, title shot to get defeated. I think that would, you know, potentially be a mistake, but I think you're right that there's a very good chance one of them is going to be, regardless of who wins the match, you know, neither one of them have had a world title shot. So it would make sense that they would get that. Let's move on to your boy, Bryan Danielson versus Miro. Obviously, I'm really disappointed we're not getting Moxley, Bryan Danielson. I would have been super excited to see that, mainly. And again, I know this is not going to, Gil Martin's like, that's not what he was talking about. But for me, I just was going to be excited to see how they booked it, because Moxley has been the most protected guy in the company. That's just a fact. Like, I mean, if you look at his win-loss record, if you look at the way he's been portrayed, I mean, even in his losses. And so it would have been interesting to see, you know, would he tap out? Would he, you know, would Danielson win clean? What would happen? But with Miro in here, the weird promos aside, talking about God and his wife, I still don't completely understand this stick. But, I mean, is there any chance Miro wins this?
That's no, and the way it looks, that it looks like, you know, when he came back last week, that he has some hamstring or a quadricep injury or something. Because I don't know if you guys noticed the wrap on his leg last week. So I'm wondering if he was kind of off for an extended period of time, and it was just like, oh, hey, the situation came up and we need you. I don't think he goes over, though.
I was initially disappointed that Miro was the replacement for, but it makes sense if he's going to lose. The other thing is, I made that bold pronunciation. If MJF wins, then Omega's winning. I think that it's possible that Darby wins and somehow somebody screws Dragon out of the title. The match, and Miro wins, and he's the first heel challenger to Hangman Page. I don't think it's 100% sure that Danielson wins. I would put it about 80%.
Who would be that person? Is that what you're asking, Morano?
No, I was wondering, does it is it just the number one contender? Like, are you just automatically next in line, or is this more?
They haven't really explained it though, when the title shot is, right? They've just said that it's a title chance down the road, or.
Yeah. I thought that they had last year the same sort of thing that Kenny Omega won and got like sort of the title shot of his dude that makes you the number one contender.
Oh, I think he's actually right. That's right. Because he's right. He beat Hangman. I'm sorry. The Jurassic Express and Christian Cage versus Super Click. Not really excited about this. I am excited about, in case you did not watch AEW Dynamite tonight, Bobby Fish attacked Jungle Boy and then had a backstage segment with Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. Ron L is just always calling these things. Is there any chance that we get some kind of breakup with the Elite? And I mean from Kenny Omega. Are we seeing a shift to maybe now a potentially a Fish, Cole, and the Young Bucks? And I think it's important that Jurassic Express and Christian Cage go over here. And the Young Bucks eat the pin.
Yeah, I agree with Jurassic Express going over, but that is exciting news, and especially with the impending news of Kyle O'Reilly's contract coming to an end. It was something I kind of put out there in the ether, but I think it would do Kenny Omega some good if he maybe had to go off on his own, or even just got into a little power struggle with Adam Cole for control, quote unquote, of you know, the Elite.
They did that at one point. They've sort of done that feud before. I think it was Ring of Honor. Where lots of concussions, lack of sleep. I'm not the greatest on dates. But it would be really cool actually to have where it looks like, and you remember how I said Kenny Omega is not selfish enough? He hasn't been selfish enough? The Young Bucks have made up for that. and so I could see setting up a feud where you have Adam Cole trying to, you know, think he's going to take over the Elite. Only it turns out that they end up turning on him and sticking with Kenny Omega, and you get Red Dragon and Cole versus the Elite as the next feud if Kenny loses the title.
All right, real quickly, Hangman versus Omega. They did a contract signing tonight. Omega signed Hangman's name and his own blood across his forehead. I mean, anyway. Callis showed back up. He's been laying in the weeds, but luckily from this segment, I am now 100% confident, as much as it's going to pain me. Sam has going to been right all along. Heyman's going to win, get his moment. Does anybody else think that it's like a realistic chance? I'm not saying obviously there's always a chance, but it's likely that Omega wins.
It's time.
I agree. It's time. It's the right thing to do with storytelling. Maybe I've just been burned by the WWE for the last decade plus. I think it's equal chances that he loses as he wins.
So that is shocking, just because you kind of called this from the get-go. But
now let me say this. I could also see it being a fuck finish where they to set up something. Which, I mean, it would be a huge mistake on pay-per-view. I'm not disagreeing with that. But that they could set up a fuck finish to do some kind of big time, that it's a disqualification finish, so that you set up a rematch on TV, the Battle of the Belts, where you have Paige win
They're not going to do that.
Let's
move on to Spurtles of the Week. We got to do this quickly. Face of the week, I felt really uncomfortable with CM Punk's promo originally Wednesday. I was worried that Moxley had not given the permission. I know that when you go into rehab, one of the first things you do is you kind of have to get cut off from the world. It has came out that Moxley okayed pretty much everything. Having said that, the face of the week is CM Punk for giving a great promo. I love the part about the hardest thing to do is to ask for help, and there's nothing more courageous than doing that. There's no truer message. And obviously for John Moxley to not only admit that he has a problem, but being okay with putting a spotlight on it for any fans, people out there that need to hear that. Kudos to both of them. That's my face of the week.
I had the same. I thought that, you know, for so much of wrestling is such top, you know, a wash. I know this is gonna get a lot of shit for me, but toxic masculinity, that I really loved that Punk came out and, you know, it's really good to get help. And as you said about Moxley, you know, this is not a situation where Moxley had some sort of horror that we've heard about. I mean, I don't know, but he's not had any sort of public embarrassment or scare that made him go, oh, I need to go to rehab. It's not really a choice. It's very hard. I have people in my life who are in recovery, and I'm just very glad, whatever, you know, enjoyment issues I've had with John Moxley, I would rather he stick around and get help. So I'm glad to hear that he's doing this.
Yeah, and I'm going to make that unanimous. Nothing braver than doing that and allowing everybody to welcome you and root for you, which is, you know, kind of different in our world, but I'm glad that this is one of those things that are changing for the better. So salute to you, John Moxley.
Amen to that.
Get well soon, man.
Hill of the week, Seth freaking Rollins. It's just funny how this guy seems to ebb and flow. It's like he gets underrated and people just realize, man, this guy is, you know, as good as just about anybody in WWE or any wrestler in the world. And then it, you know, 5-6 months later, people are sick of him. Right now, I am just baffled that anybody can dislike Seth Rollins. He's been incredible. The suits, the way he's playing KO and Big E versus each other, the banger of a match him and Kevin Owens had last week. He's on the top of his game, and it's almost, I'm going to say it again, the dad bod. Like, he is not quite as ripped as he was before, and it works for him. And I love that. But Seth Rollins is my heel of the week.
I was talking about the masculinity with Punk that, like, I really identify with and that I find really admirable. And then we had my heel of the week, fucking Chris Jericho, doing his, you know, for a guy who jerks himself off talking about how, let me not say that. This is a guy who has reinvented himself consistently as a heel year in, year out, and does, you know, he's able to do that because he does the same fucking face shtick that he has been doing since 2000. And I gotta be honest with you, like, there's stuff that we left behind because we kind of realized, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't, you know, make gay jokes and, you know, call women whores. And fucking Chris Jericho thinks that that stuff is hilarious. And it's just like, maybe there's still people who really enjoy it, but, like, God, I don't want to hang out with them.
Ronel.
Well, I've got to once again go on another rant because my heel of the week, this is WWE creative and goes right to the head. Vince McMahon. For creative, I first want to start with one old trope I did like seeing this past week. Seeing the way that KO delved into his heel turn was classically done on Monday Night Raw. And sure, Raw was decent, save for missing the mark with a 24/7 spot. But my focus falls on you, Vince McMahon, for putting together Jacket Time. Another, like, I know that we joke on this podcast about black on black crime, and that's just because you've been doing this since the golden age. And, you know, you created a narrative for these guys to come together on NXT, which, you know, whatever. I see your handprints all over NXT, which is, to me, somewhat kind of problematic, especially for that product, unless you're definitely going to, you know, call it something different. But how many more times do we have to put up with your blatant biases with the way you put these tag teams together? The last time you did that, you missed the mark with Asuka. You sent Kairi Sane back to Japan with concussion upon concussion. Like, please, can we just stop with your biases? I know you don't listen to us, but as fans, we're all tired of this crap, and it's about to be 2022, and you just can't get away with this stuff happening anymore without more of us getting upset about it.
All right, so the promo of the week, MJF, just an amazing promo. This was last Wednesday, I believe. But I just really want to read a little bit of it because it was different from him in his normal promos. He said, why do fans boo me and cheer you talking to Darby? For a while, it made me mad. Then it hit me. Of course they hate me. I'm everything they can never be. Darby, these people love you because you are just like them. You will never fit in and you will never win. You always let your emotions get the better of you. You go from proficient wrestler to glorified stuntman. At Full Gear, you will lose because you are too focused on battering me because I'm better than you and you know it. I'm so much better than you in the ring that I could beat you with a headlock takeover. Don't ever change, MJF. Just keep being you. But I do like that he's evolving a little bit in his promos. This was a little different than his normal, just, you know, berating you and calling you names. It was fantastic. That's my promo of the week.
I really wanted for that promo for Brian Danielson to come out and be like, you said headlock, not small package, right? Then you're fine with me.
All right, one of you guys, go ahead.
I honestly really did dig the CM Punk and Eddie Kingston one. It was nice seeing the pipe bomb come, a 180, and the shoes are now on the other foot. And it was nice to see. And it really is what led me to think that this would be a good time for a Punk heel turn.
I found myself watching this, and at first, I when the segment started, I was like, oh, we're getting Eddie Kingston versus Punk at Full Gear. We're getting Eddie Kingston versus Punk at Full Gear, which is a testament to how much I love CM Punk and how good they were in that segment.
It would help, though, if Ruby Soho is not holding Eddie Kingston back by herself. Real quickly, because we literally got like 2-3 minutes. Wrestler on the Rise, Liv Morgan, well-deserved, won the six-pack challenge, I guess they called it, for a shot at Becky Lynch. I don't think she's going to win the title, but she's deserved a shot. The crowd has been really behind her. And believe it or not, this may help the Becky heel turn and getting more fans to boo her, because Liv really is over right now. Liv Morgan's my wrestler on the rise.
And I am completely with you. We know that she doesn't have a chance at winning, but at least it has a chance to elevate her to at least get more of these opportunities. So I'm happy for Liv Morgan this week.
Mine was Keith Lee. I think that if you can get over in the indies and you can get over in NXT, then you can get over. And I think that his not getting over in the main roster is not Keith Lee's fault. I think some of it was bad timing with his getting sick. I think some of it was that they missed the boat on him. So I think that he has a bright future elsewhere. And I'm excited to see him realize that.
Yeah, I'm ready to see them just let him go in the ring, because the stuff I saw on YouTube and elsewhere before he came to WWE, we saw a few matches of that in NXT, but really nothing compared to just some of the athleticism that dude showed on a regular basis in the indies that just made me go, holy shit, like, how big is this guy and what all can he do? We're going to have to end it there. Really excited for Full Gear. I'm actually really excited for Survivor Series. I know, and rightfully so, we crapped on the build of the Survivor Series match, and it should be, but we're still getting the title or the champion versus champion. And I mean, anytime I'm going to get Becky, Charlotte, Big E, Roman, I'm in. Like, that's it. That's all I need to know. I'm in. So we've got some good wrestling coming up. I really am excited to see Full Gear. I kind of have a feeling that AEW is going to, you know, pull out all stops. You got to think about the last couple of pay-per-views. They've had some big moments in all of them. But for the ravishing one, Sam the Shooter Howe and Chief Keith Fleming, we appreciate you guys. It's been another episode of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. We will see you soon.